Again for that. I just want to say again what a blessing it's been to get to know Brother Ouellette these last a number of years. But way before that, before I ever met him, he was such a blessing to me. Just with the sword of the Lord, messages, the papers that I received, messages that I heard. I saw it the other day, an old cassette, What Saith the Lord, Brother Ouellette. Have no place to play it anywhere. It's one of those old little cassettes, but what a blessing. And I just appreciate him, and I appreciate the fact that he's come, and he was a blessing to us last year, and I'm thankful for him being here as well. So let's be praying for the Lord to use him and the rest of this conference. And without any further ado, Brother Ouellette, it's yours.
Thank you, preacher.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much. Well, I am delighted to be here. Thank you for praying for me. Most of you know I've been through chemo and radiation because of a tumor on my vocal cords. The doctor said 75% of her patients in my situation recover 80 to 90% of their voice. The other 25% become country singers. So while I'm out west, I'll pick up the belt, the boots, and the bolo, and the 10-gallon hat, and just get ready. Thank you so much. Do you stand when you read the scripture here, preacher? No, I don't want to do anything you don't normally do. Mark chapter 5, verse 22. And behold, there cometh out of one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hand on her. And if you do that, then she may be healed and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, I'm not positive, but I believe the next verse is the first recorded reference to government-run health care. And it suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was made nothing better, but rather grew worse when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. Would you all say that with me? Be not afraid, only believe. Would you say it again, please? Be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid,
only believe.
Only believe.
Be not afraid, only believe.
Thank you for that extra reinforcement. I appreciate it. Gold star. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult of them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him. And he entered into where the damsel was lying, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. Lord, as far as I know, I'm the place you want me to be for your people in your word this morning. Would you empower me by your spirit? Would you bind Satan and the unclean spirits that serve him, that they would fail as they try to distract us? By whatever means, take the seed of your word out of the soil of our hearts. Help us to receive it gladly, to be good ground. If there are those who don't know they have a home in heaven, would today be the day they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? And if there are those of your children who are struggling, having a hard time, I'm sure there's a lot of us, facing issues, would you leave us settled and secure in that wonderful promise and command, be not afraid, only believe. Help to be so. Bless the preaching and the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Jairus has a request. It's a request of fervor. He besought him greatly. It's a request of feeling, my little daughter. She's dying. She's ill. I love her. She's my daughter. But it's a request of faith. He said, I know, Jesus, what you've done for the people. And I know if you came and you put your hand on her forehead, she'd get better. There's a request. There's a response. The Lord Jesus is willing. The Bible says he went with him. Hey, Jesus loves you. He always wants to help you. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. You can trust him. You can count on him. But there's a lady in the crowd that's had a chronic issue. Now, Jairus' daughter had a critical issue. Hers was chronic. Wouldn't matter if she's helped today, next month, 2 months later. And she said, you know, I bet you if I could touch the border of Jesus' garment, I'd be healed. She did, and she was. And Jesus stopped. And he turned around, and he said, who touched me? Oh, Lord, these people are all thronging. They're all pushing close to you. Why do you mean? What do you mean by saying, who touched me? Watch out when you have a tendency to correct the Lord Jesus. Right. We learn in Sunday school it's dumb to argue with Jesus. Right. Dumb to correct him too. Right. And the woman came and told what she had done. And he said, woman, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen. I want her to know something. She wasn't healed because she touched his clothes. She was healed because she believed in him, because of her faith. Nobody got help by touching the bones of a dead saint. Nobody got help by ordering a prayer cloth from some bozo on the television who said that he prayed over it, and if you touch it, you'll get help. No. Everybody who ever goes to heaven goes the same way. By faith. We're all sinners. The penalty for our sin is death in hell. If I paid what I owed for my sin, I'd have to die and go to hell forever, and so would you. But God loves us. He doesn't want you, me, or anybody to spend any time in hell. He didn't even make hell for people. Departs in everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. But we're all sinners, and the penalty for sin is death. So God sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be born of a virgin, to live a perfect life on this earth for a third of a century, to go to the cross, to shed his blood, to die, to be buried, to rise triumphant on the third day. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. If you go to heaven, it'll be because you said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know Jesus died for me. And I'm trusting Jesus and him alone to forgive my sin and give me eternal life in heaven. Just one problem. While he's making that important point, Jairus' daughter dies. Imagine how Jairus is feeling during this exchange. Come on, Lord, I heard my daughter. I told you, she said the point of death. Lord, you can straighten this lady out later. Her problem be the same in a week as it is now. My daughter is critical. Time is sensitive. I was a sheriff's chaplain for 20 years or so. Did a lot of death notifications. If I'd ever done one like these people did it, they would have fired me from my volunteer job. They just walk up, say, thy daughter's dead. Why trouble to sell the master any further? Jesus is willing, that's his response, but he waits. And when they tell Jairus his daughter is dead, he gives him a reassurance. So if you're keeping track, we've had a request, a response, and a reassurance. And he says, be not afraid. That's a Bible message. Fear not. The angel said to Joseph, fear not. The angel said to Mary, fear not. Jesus said to Peter, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Fear is not of God. And then he says, only believe. Now, here's the deal. Jairus had it figured out what Jesus would do. He'd maybe seen him help other people. They said, Lord, if you come to my house, if you take your hand, you put it on your forehead, then you'll get better. And the Lord Jesus deliberately allowed this situation to go past the point where anything Jairus had imagined would take care of the problem. We're like that. Well, maybe this medicine will. Maybe this doctor, maybe this counselor take care of the conflict. Maybe this person touch the heart of my wayward child and bring them back. Maybe Aunt Tilly will have the good grace to die and leave me some of that money that she's not doing anything with anyway. And God lets it go beyond where anything we can imagine would help. And then he says, fear not, only believe. You got saved by faith. You will succeed or fail in the Christian life in direct proportion to your exercise of faith. Be not afraid, only believe. Jairus, you don't need new faith. You don't need more faith. You don't need different faith, but you do need to keep exercising the faith you have. See, when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we trust him with our eternal soul.
Amen.
The greatest act of faith you'll ever make, trusting Jesus for eternity. But isn't it strange? A God big enough to save us is not big enough to sustain us if we tithe, we think.
Right.
A God big enough to give us everlasting life is not big enough to help us in this life if we take a stand at work, if we obey the Bible regarding our family, if we step out and do something that seems uncertain and unsettled. Now, I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what your burden is. I don't know any crises that may be going on in your life or the life of this church. But I do know the answer. The answer, our Savior says, you don't need new faith. You don't need more faith. You don't need different faith. But you do need to keep exercising the faith you have. I may say more about this later on. Faith is not the absence of doubt. Faith is obeying the Lord in spite of your doubt. She, graduated from a Christian college, married a Christian young man from that college, came to our head, they joined our church, two little girls. She taught at a Christian school, not ours, that our church operated, but one in the area. One day he left. And now on a single school teacher's salary, Christian school teacher, she is by herself trying to raise those two daughters. She works all day. She comes home. She cooks. She cleans. She does laundry. The trash needs to go out. She's got to take it out. Of course, you ladies say, I do the same thing at my house. Faucet leaks. She's got to fix it. Oil needs to be changed. She's got to take the car in. One day, she came to see me. She put a little picture on my desk. Three stick figures on this side of the paper. One stick figure on this side. A heart drawn in the middle with a jagged line down the center of the heart to show it was broken. Her youngest daughter had drawn that picture. Handed it to her and said, Mommy, this is how I feel now that Daddy's gone. And she looked at me and she said, what do I tell her? I answered with great and amazing wisdom. I said, I don't know. I don't know. I have an answer for every question. Quite answer the answer. Often the answer is, I don't know. You know what she did? She had no white knight come to rescue her. And no man took a particular interest in her daughters. No financial windfall. Drove old cars and tried to keep them running. Oh, people loved her and helped her and reached out here and there, but nothing dramatic, nothing special. But she did stay in church, and she did teach her children to love the Lord, and she did do the right thing in every area that she could. And I lived to have the privilege of performing the weddings of both of those young ladies to wonderful Christian men. And then I saw a man come in her life and then no joy together. You know what she did? She just kept on believing. No new faith, no more faith, no different faith. But continuing to exercise the faith she had. My dad prayed for his dad for 17 years before he would get saved. My grandpa, well, that was Roman Catholic, never went to church. One day, my dad was the sixth of seven children. Dad was born in 1927. His Aunt Ruth, or his sister Ruthie, my Aunt Ruthie called and said, Dad has emphysema. He may have a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months. But if you want to see him again, you ought to come pretty quick. My dad loaded up the car that night, drove from Michigan to Massachusetts. He was running the Detroit Rescue Mission then. And got to the hospital. went to his dad, said, "Dad, something happened to me 17 years ago. I know, son, you've been different." He shared the gospel and said, "Dad, won't you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior?" And my grandpa said, "No." My dad said, "Why not?" He said, "Son, all my life I've worked for everything I've got. Raised 7 children during the Depression. Never went on the dole, never took a dime from anybody. To think the only way I get to heaven is by accepting a gift of everlasting life, I just don't think I can do that." By the way, only way you ever get to heaven is by accepting God's gift of eternal life. Can't earn it, can't work for it. The gift of God is eternal life. Wages sin is death. Now you can think what you want about this. My dad said to his dad, "Would you like to see my mother again?" My grandpa said, "I would. She's a good woman. We had a lot of good years together." My dad said, "The only way you'll ever see her again is if you trust Jesus to be your Savior." And my grandpa said, "All right." They prayed. He asked the Lord Jesus to save him. The doctor came in right after that. "Mr. Ledney, take your father, give him a blood transfusion." Dad said, "Go ahead. He's just been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ." Now, you can think what you want about that. But in the kindness of God, my dad had a revival meeting scheduled about 2 weeks later in a little town near where his dad lived. My grandpa lived in a little town called Brimfield. And the revival meeting was in Warren. If you know Massachusetts at all, it's near Worcester. Looks like Worcester to us, but they say Worcester. And I remember 2 things about my grandpa. He was missing the middle 2 fingers on this hand. He got cut off in a saw accident. I was always fascinated to see him pick up a tissue with his little finger and his index finger. I was just impressed. I'm easily impressed. And he sat in his easy chair watching television, smoking pell-mell cigarettes until the test patterns came on. Some of you have no idea what that means. We were not always blessed or cursed with 24/7 TV. 1 or 2 in the morning, programming would end and there'd be a test pattern. And you'd tune your television by the test pattern. We went to the meeting. My grandpa still sat in his chair. Still smoked Pall cigarettes. I know you call them Pall Mall, but that's what we called them when I was a kid. But now, instead of watching TV all night, he had a big giant print Bible. He was all the time reading that Bible. And we'd come back, and my grandpa would say to my dad, "Son, did anybody get saved tonight?" "What did your dad do that made the difference?" "Nothing. He just kept on believing." And I want to remind you, the answers to your problems have already been provided in the mind of God. The solution to your situation is certain to our Savior. But He requires one thing of us: be not afraid, only believe. Yeah. Oliver Cromwell was called the one strong man in England. He was a Protestant, had taken over from a Roman Catholic. Now, we're not Protestants, we're Baptists. We didn't protest the Roman Catholic Church and come out. We never went in. Study history. But he was strict and harsh because there were forces against him, and he had to maintain absolute control. One day, a young soldier had committed an infraction. We would have thought it relatively minor, but in Cromwell's day, it had the death penalty. Young soldier was engaged. His beautiful fiance came to Cromwell and pled for the life of her loved one. And Cromwell was not indifferent to her plight, but he said, I'm sorry. If I let him get away with this, everybody will think they can get away with anything they want, and I'll lose the whole kingdom. He said, your fiance will hang when curfew rings tonight. She didn't stop. She kept on believing. She went to the bell tower, climbed up to the top, wrapped her body around that big metal clapper of that massive bell. And when the old deaf sextant came to pull the rope, the bell swang back and forth like it always did. But no sound came. Her body absorbed the blow and muffled the sound. And thinking he had done his daily duty, the sextant went back to his regular place. Cromwell, after a while, wondered why curfew had not rung. And he came to find out, and as he approached the bell tower, the poet records the meeting with these words. At his feet, she told her story, showed her hands all bruised and torn, and her young, sweet face still haggard with the anguish it had borne. Touched his heart with sudden pity, lit his eyes with misty light. Go! Your lover lives, cried Cromwell. Curfew shall not ring tonight. Would you say it with me together one more time? Be not afraid, only believe. Lord, guide me as I extend the invitation. Please speak to our hearts. Do what I cannot do. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. I wonder who's here this morning. You say, Brother Willette, I'm God's child. I'd go to heaven if I died right now, not because I deserve it, because I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, trusted him and only him to be my Savior. I need to apply what I've heard. The Spirit of God has spoken to my heart. He's dealt with my life. And I need to keep on believing. You pray with me about that. You who say that, would you hold your hand up high? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God. Wonderful, wonderful. God bless you. Anybody else? Quickly. I'm God's child. Heaven is my home. I need to put in practice what I've heard from the Word of God today. Pray for me. So then, if I'd like to include you in the prayer, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I wonder if you're here today. You say, if I died right now, I do not know whether or not I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know that for certain, but I don't. But you said, Jesus died for me, and through him I could have everlasting life. Wouldn't you like to know that? Wouldn't you like to know that you never had to answer for any of the bad things you'd ever done? That every sin you'd ever committed was forgiven, cleansed because of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the moment you breathed your last breath on earth, you'd wake up in heaven forever. I wonder who'd say, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven if I died right now. But I'd like to know that for sure. Would you let me pray for you? Now, wait a minute. I didn't call any attention to anybody whose hand was raised a moment ago. I will not now call any more attention to you than I did to them then. But I'd sure like to include you in the prayer. And I wonder who would say, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I wish I was. Pray for me when you pray for these other folks. You say that. Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you. I won't embarrass you. I'll see it. Slip it up. I'll see it, and you put it down. I'm not sure, man, but I'd like to be sure. Pray for me. Lord, I pray for all those who lifted a hand. I pray you'd help them not only to lift a hand, but also to bend a knee. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please? Heads bowed, eyes closed. The piano's going to play. You raised a hand, said, I need to do business with God. Come out of your seat right now. There you go. Find a place at the altar to do business with God. Don't wait. Don't wonder what anybody else is going to do. Don't hesitate. Just act obediently. You said, I'm not sure of heaven, but I'd like to be sure. You come. We'll help you be sure. You're saved, haven't obeyed the Lord in baptism. You come to talk to you about that. If you're saved and baptized and not a part of this church, this is a great church. Wonderful place. If I moved to this area, I doubt I'd even visit another church. I'd just show up and say, if you'll have me, I want to be a member of Cornerstone Baptist. If you need to do that, you come. Christian friend, I'm glad you raised a hand. It's better to bend the knee. The word humble in the Bible literally means to bend the knee. And every time the Lord Jesus called people, he called them publicly. If he's speaking to your heart, don't argue with him. Don't decide you got a better way. Just act obediently. Other folks are praying. You come join them. Still praying, folks still coming. You ought to come join them. Loving us, helping us, and meeting with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you say it one more time with me? Fear not, only believe. You be seated. I'm going to tell you about the books at the back table. I won't mention, I,